Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. I am Nastasha Hardooth. I'm a director at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr Attorneys, and I head up the corporate debt, turnaround, and restructuring sector. I'm joined today by Dave Pinnock.
Hi, Nastasha. Dave Pinnock, as you said, and I'm a director in our corporate and commercial department here at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.
Dave, thanks for joining me. The topic of zombie companies is timely and quite frankly a little chilling. Framing our topic in such stark and gothic terms is simply irresistible given that today is Halloween.
Yeah, thanks, Nastasha. I think the zombie metaphor really fits well here. So what we're talking about is companies that aren't dead, but they're not really alive either. They're stuck in a limbo. They're draining resources, they're unable to grow, but they're too costly to kill off. And that can be an enormous problem, particularly in private equity portfolios, especially in very tough markets like South Africa has been over the past years. There's several reasons why these zombie companies persist and why they create problems for private equity portfolios. Most importantly, I think, is that a private equity firm managing a portfolio of assets is very loath to realize losses. And of course, has always got the overhanging problem of reputational concerns. And all of this is within a context where PE firms have to realize their value within a hard fund deadline. Even a on-balance sheet private equity portfolio, for instance, a private equity portfolio managed by a bank, is stuck with a deadline that is always looming. And that deadline is that the assets have to be realized within a certain time.
I guess no one wants to admit to a failed investment, and there must be a real incentive to kick the can down the road, especially if fundraising for the next fund depends on your track record. But keeping these companies on life support could make matters worse. You mentioned the lack of liquidity in the South African market. How much does this really limit our options? Because sometimes sales of distressed entities can feel like haunted house tours. Lots of shrieks, few buyers.
You're sticking well to the metaphor. Yeah, it is a huge factor. So firstly, in a very small market like South Africa is, and it is a small market in comparison to, say, the UK, the US, or Europe, if you try to sell an asset and the process fails, that's almost as damaging as a liquidation. The market often knows why the asset failed, and that then carries a reputational taint, makes the asset even harder to shift next time around. So PE firms often find themselves in a situation where they're holding on, and they're almost incentivized to hold on. They're hoping for a turnaround. They're hoping that the market improves at some point in the future. And all of this is in the context I mentioned while the clock is ticking. So I think the question for us is there some way of simplifying this, or is it the nature of the beast that we're dealing with?
Well, Dave, I guess it's partly structural, but we can be more proactive. Sometimes continuation funds are used to buy time, but that doesn't really solve the underlying issue, does it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So PE firms are professional managers of assets. That's what they do. But they're also primarily, first and foremost, transactors. And I think even the best transactors can find themselves invested in an asset that has underperformed, a problematic asset. The very best of the PE firms have got an incentive to manage and deal with the problem as soon as they possibly can. And it's all around having a willingness to make that hard call, to go out and say, we need to do a restructure. And it's worth remembering it is a hard call. It's a tough conversation. It's a tough conversation internally, because as a manager, you've got to turn around and say to your investors, we've got a problem here, which is never a happy conversation. And then it's also a tough call with lenders and stakeholders of the zombie business. So I think it's one more incentive not to make the call. But there's often a strong case for an operational restructuring, for cost optimizations, bringing in turnaround specialists, renegotiating terms with lenders. I think the key, though, is not to be passive. So bringing in an experienced turnaround professional really can make a huge difference. And that can be the difference in making a revival or being left with a failed asset.
Nampak's revival is a fascinating example, I think. Prior to its turnaround, Dave, it could have been described as a classic zombie company. High debt, poor performance, and exposure to volatile markets. But it has turned things around almost completely. Is this a blueprint for others?
It really is a great case study. Now, it's not a private equity portfolio company. It's obviously in the public space, in the listed space. But I think the way in which their informal restructuring worked and that played out so well is because of how decisive they were about doing it. They made that hard call, and then they took the steps to achieve the best outcome that had become possible in the circumstances. And that's quite important. It's that mindset shift of being in a position where you don't look back and say, gee, I wish we hadn't made that mistake, or I wish we hadn't invested here, saying this is where we are, and we're now going to deal with the problem. And I think that the fact that they were proactive and not reactive played really well. And it's a good example because of how successful it's been. I think there are other options, though. And one of them is one of your specialities and something that's not spoken about often enough in our market. And that's prepackaged restructurings.
Yeah, these are often seen as last resorts, and they are underutilized because there is a stigma attached to a formal restructuring. But prepacks can be less value destructive and more reputationally protective than insolvency proceedings. So from a South African context, you can have a prepackaged business rescue or a prepackaged compromise. In both cases, the restructuring deal is basically bedded down, in other words, negotiated and agreed, before the formal process is initiated, with the intention of exiting that formal process almost as soon as it begins, but of course with an optimized balance sheet. And this process can really preserve value.
And I think that's the point. It's about changing perspectives. And more particularly, I think seeing restructuring, including a prepackaged restructure, as a tool rather than as a failure, as one of the tools that you do have in your tool belt as a PE firm managing assets.
Yeah, PE firms pride themselves, I guess, and you can probably attest to that, on agility and decisiveness. But when it comes to zombie companies, they can sometimes be scared stiff. I mean, who wouldn't be? Zombie companies, right? But to avoid a zombie apocalypse, I believe you need three ingredients. You need to confront the reality, restructure where necessary, and free up capital for healthier investments.
So the dead may walk, but the living can always do something about it, Mr. Asher.
That's absolutely right. Zombies shouldn't be wandering the streets mindlessly, Dave. They ought to be revived or buried.
Here's to hoping we can bring some of these companies back to life.
Sounds good, Dave. This has been fun. Here's to less haunted portfolios.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.